Thank you for joining us today as Pastor Tim shares the Word of God. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God and constant, powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Tim with today's message.
I want to talk for just a few minutes on something that is getting many, many people. And that is the word resentment. It becomes a lifestyle for people. It becomes the way they live. Their whole life, they just live mad, bitter, angry, resentful. And it's like the resentment is what drives them. John chapter 10, verse 10 is a dividing line. I think we all know that by heart. If we don't, make sure we do. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come to bring life and to bring life more abundant. New Living Translation says, my purpose is to give a rich and satisfying life. Now, in life, you can use that as a dividing line. When it steals your peace, when it steals your joy, when it robs your blessings, when it destroys your health, when it kills your finances, when it kills your stuff, whatever. When it destroys you, then it's a thief. When it brings life, when it brings blessings. See, I've come to provide life and blessings, and the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You got to know when it's not God. And I just hate so much of the thief's activity getting blamed on God when God didn't have anything to do with that. And we got a lot of people mad at God, and he's as upset about it as you are, if not a whole lot more. You think you're mad about it, you ought to see how God feels about that. And it just constantly irritates me to read insurance reports where they talk about the acts of God. God, look in the Garden of Eden. Look at what God intended for man to live in. God didn't intend on man living with and in and through the consequences that sin brings. Jesus came, my purpose was to bring life, and not only life, but life more abundant. And we got to live our life being aware of the thief's traps, of the thief's MO, of the thief's tools that he uses in our life to steal our joy. God wants you being happy. God wants you living in joy. God wants you to have a great life. Now, what is it that's keeping you from that? What are you so jerked up about? Why are you out of peace? Why are you out of joy? Why are you mad? Why are you irritated? Why are you depressed? Why are you worried? Why are you living in fear? We got to understand what the thief does when he tries to steal the God kind of life that we were intended to live. Now, what happens during our day that causes us to lose our joy, to lose our peace? We live in a fallen world. We live in an imperfect world, and I want you to write this down, maybe on your hand. We live with imperfect people. We live with imperfect people. Now, God didn't intend for man to live with storms and tornadoes and earthquakes, nor did God intend for you to ever live with imperfect people. That's not God's plan. Adam was perfect. Eve was perfect. Romans tells us that through one man, Adam, sin entered into all man's heart. So we are born with the seed of Adam, or the Adamic sin nature. And we all live with people who are sinners. Now, I got some news for you. You're the biggest one. Now, you need to know that. I want our teenagers to know right now, your parents are not perfect. You need to live knowing that. I want our students to know your teachers are not perfect. I want our employees to know you work for an employer that's not perfect. I want all of our employers to know you work a bunch of employees that are not perfect. We live, work, and exist. We're married to, we live in the same house with, we work with, we interact with your best friend. It's not perfect. And you need to know that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the chapter on love, the Apostle Paul writes something that we often overlook in verse 5. And we read over this way too quickly. It says, love thinks no evil. And what I want to talk about, this just jumps off of the page to me. It says, it keeps no records of wrong. That's what I want to talk about a little bit. It keeps no record of wrong. That word record, or to record, comes from a Greek word, logizomia, which means to calculate, to reckon, to tally. And all this is done on a computer now. We don't have a whole lot of bookkeepers anymore. We just push a button and it keeps the books for us. But we used to have ledger books. And you used to write down, you kept a tally, you kept a ledger, you kept a record, you recorded. And this word, keeps no record of wrong, is a term that is used in making entries in a ledger. And I found this very interesting when I looked this word up and started studying it. It says, making an entry in a ledger in permanent ink. That was interesting. That word in the Greek says, making a record in a ledger in permanent ink. Not in pencil, but in permanent ink. And that's what Paul writes in Corinthians. You don't keep a record of wrong. See, we're going to write it down, not in a light pencil. We're going to write it down in permanent ink, what she said to me. I tell you right now, I'll never forgive her for that. Boy, you just wrote it in a permanent ink because you're going to keep a record of what she said and what she did to me. And I'll tell you this right now. See, big permanent ink. Romans chapter 4, verse 8. Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Here's what I want you to know. The Lord does not write our wrongs in ink. Now, are you happy about that? Are you happy that there's not a permanent tally kept of all of your wrongs? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. See, 1 Corinthians 13 says, love keeps no record of wrong. It does not write down in ink what wrong was done to you. I want you to write something else down. Maybe write this on your hand. In life, you will be wronged. Did everybody hear that? In life, you will be wronged. Not one time. Not two times. But on a fairly regular basis. You will be, somebody will lie. Somebody will cheat you. And I thought they were my best friend. I thought I could trust them. You can't trust nobody. They're sinners. They're going to lie. They're going to sin gets a hold of people. And you have put your confidence in imperfect people. And that's a good thing because you have nobody else to put it in. Here, if you want to make sure that you put your confidence in somebody perfect, then you're going to have only one friend. That will be God. You won't have no other friends or no other acquaintances. You won't ever be married. You won't ever have another friend. You won't have an associate. Here's what you need to know. People are not perfect, but what we're going to talk about here in a minute is that you ain't neither. Now, why are you going to demand such perfection out of other people, but demand that people overlook your imperfection? You're wronged on a regular basis. The teacher is going to wrong you. You will have a school teacher that won't make every decision right. that won't handle everything right. You're going to have a principal that will that make a bad decision, that won't handle everything right. You're going to have a friend that won't do everything right, that's going to hurt your feelings, that's going to upset you, that's going to betray your trust. You're going to have... You're going to have coworkers. You're going to have bosses. You're going to have neighbors. What I'm telling you, people are not perfect. And they do things that they should not have done. And consequence of that, you are wronged. And you are truly wrong. Well, Tim, you don't know what they've done to me. I got it. You've been wronged. I got it. I'm on your side. They're a jerk. You have been wronged. Here, for the life of me, I have no idea, and I'll never understand, why people expect not to be wronged. Why do you expect not to be wronged? The only way you expect not to be wronged is you don't have an understanding of the sin nature of man that Romans teaches. You don't have an understanding of the Adamic nature that we all fight. Thank God I'm winning a lot of the times, but not all the time. That lust, that greed, that anger, that old man wants to rise up. And I'm not going to stand here and say I'm perfect. I'm going to say I'm doing better, and I'm whipping that old man more and more, daily more and more. I'm overcoming my flesh. But I can't stand here and say that I never make a mistake or never have it. Well, let me just ask you. We're just family here. We don't have a lot. We're just all family. We're all here on the same team. Have you ever done anything or said anything wrong? Go and I've confessed. Come on. Have you ever? Okay. The rest of you are liars. No, I didn't say that. First John said it. I mean, you're a liar. Truth's not in you. That's what it said. All those who didn't raise their hand, you're a liar and the truth's not in you. Have you ever done or said anything wrong? Have you ever done anything that you knew when you did it after you knew that was a mistake? Have you ever handled a situation that when you walked away, you think, I didn't deal with that correctly? Have you ever hung up the phone and said, wish I had that back? I shouldn't have handled it like that. I shouldn't have dealt with them like that. Wow, my tone of voice. My word. Have you ever done that? Well, others do too. Your best friend does too. Your coworkers, they do too. They hang up the phone, and while you're mad and fuming, they hang up the phone and go, man, I wish I wouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done it. I did not handle that like I should have, and I know it. And somebody is wronged. Now, you forgive them because you need people to forgive you when you don't handle it correctly. I'll never get this. I don't understand, and we deal with it all the time. I don't understand why parents not only expect but demand perfect teachers for their children. You know, all the parents of kids in our school, I wish you would give me a list of people to hire. Would you find perfect people that's not ever going to make a mistake for your little sweetie precious? I'll just go out and hire them. But we're going to demand that the teacher is with them 9 months from 8 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon, and in the course of 9 months, not one time ever, handle my situation, my little precious, wrong. When you drop your kid off at school, here's what I would appreciate you expect. Teacher's probably going to wrong them today. Here's what you need to know. Somebody on the playground is going to act in a way they shouldn't have acted. When you walk into your place of work, you need to be fully aware that I'm working with a bunch of people who are not perfect. See, I don't, let me ask this. I'm just talking to all the parents. I mean, all the parents in here. Have you ever said, done, or handled your child in a way that when you walked away, you thought, I didn't handle that exactly right? Parents, raise your hand if you've done that. You walked away and you thought, that's probably not, I was too hard, I wasn't hard enough, I was. Parents, have you done that? Then why do you send them to school and get mad when the teacher does that? Why do you get furious when the teacher handles your kid in a wrong way when you just raised your hand and said you handled your kid in the wrong way? See, we've all done things, we've handled things, we've disciplined our kids, but we're going to demand that the principal or the teacher or your boss or your coworkers or your employees never ever make a mistake. You let your boss make a mistake and you've had it and you're going to quit. You know, let me tell you something from a boss's position. You don't fire everybody that makes a mistake. Because soon, you are there by yourself. So what you do is you learn to work with coworkers who are not perfect. What workers do is learn to work with a boss that's not perfect, because if they quit every time the boss was imperfect, they wouldn't be employed. So we just, you know, this school is producing, this is where I want to raise my child, and so I commit, and I'm there. Through all of the teachers in 13 or 14 years that are occasionally going to have a bad day. This is where I'm going to work. Here is where God has assigned me to give my giftings to serve other people. Now I'm there. Some days everybody's going to suit me. Some days they're not. Some days the boss is going to be in a good mood. Some days this is where God has placed me in this body of Christ. This is the church that I've been assigned to. Occasionally we'll just get lucky and have a good sermon. A lot of times we're going to have a bad one. Sometimes I just disagree with them. Some days the preacher's going to shake my hand. Some days he's going to act like he didn't even know. Some days the preacher's going to snub me. But it don't make any difference, because this is where I am. See, we commit to a place. You commit to a job. You commit to a, this is my friend. And this is who Terry and I have chosen to be friends with. Now, sometimes they're real doofuses. Sometimes I shake my head and I think, why'd I choose them to be a friend with? But you know, that's just the way life is, because I've got to admit to myself that in all probability, they're saying, why did I choose him to be a friend with? He's a real doofus. You know, we act like we're perfect and we're going to judge and criticize everybody else who has wronged us like we have never wronged anybody else. We're going to have to understand what the word resentment does. It's writing down a wrong in ink. It's keeping 15-year ledger of what they did to me. And here's what I want you to know. Resentment kills any chance of abundant life in your own heart. Now, you can just be sulled up and pout and sulled up and bitter and walk around upset with them, and I'll never speak to them as long as I live. They're having a great life. The truth is, there are people who are so bitter at me, I don't know their name. I don't even remember their name. See, they've chosen to carry a grudge. I'm having a great. Here's what you need to know. Your resentment ain't hurting nobody but you. It's eating nobody up but you. When you keep a tally, when you write down in your mind what somebody did to you, said to you, wronged you, whether that be your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your business partner, your best friend, I mean, you've been wronged. And I want to make sure you understand, you have truly been wronged. I'm not saying you haven't. You have been wronged. But resentment will affect your marriage. I'm so full of anger and bitterness to somebody else, it's affecting my relationship with my wife. It'll affect your relationship with your own kids. It'll affect the fun that you have on vacation. It'll affect the work and the productivity of your life. I say things to my wife who I love dearly that were wrong, that I should not have. I act in ways that are wrong, and I shouldn't have responded like that. And I have to have her roll her eyes, pat me on the head, and just overlook my nonsense. I have to have that. So why, when she does something that I don't like, would I cuss, slam the door, get in my car, and spray gravel all over the house? I'm like, why are you acting like that when your mate has to put up with all your nonsense? We got to get a hold of this resentment. We have to get a hold of this resentment. And when somebody wrongs you, don't act like you are perfect all the time. 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. As the time King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. I'm going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. I may preach on that one day. That's just a good sentence right there. David's dying, encouraging his son Solomon. Be a man, don't be a wimp. Don't be a weenie, be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God. Follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, the commands, the regulations, the laws written in the law of Moses, so that you'll be successful in all you do and wherever you go. If you do this, then the Lord will keep his promise he made to me. He told me, if your descendants live as they should and follow me faithfully with all their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel. My goodness. Woo-hoo! What a great, great speech we just gave in church. Verse 5. And there's something else. You know that Joab? You know what he did to me when he murdered my two army commanders, Abner, son of Ner, and Amasa, son of Jether? That sorry joker, he pretended that it was an act of war, but it was done in a time of peace, staining his belt and sandals with innocent blood. Do with him whatever you think best, but here's what I'm telling you. Don't let him grow old and go to his grave in peace. Boy, just giving a great Sunday school lesson. Oh, follow God. But here on his deathbed, passing a legacy to his son, I've got to pass on my resentment. I got to pass down my resentment that I've written in ink and I've harbored for many years. And I didn't have a chance to get the sorry sucker, but you do it for me. I mean, written in ink. Hebrews 12:15 says, don't let a root of bitterness spring up, grow up, and defile you. You know, medical doctor studies show that bitterness eats away your physical health. You know, psychological studies show that bitterness eats away your mental health. When you keep a tally, a record of wrongs, a wrong done to you, it'll eat your life away. It will eat your life away. And we all face this and we all deal with this on a regular basis because we all live with imperfect people in an imperfect world. And yes, it hurts because I thought we were best friends. You were best friends, but you were best friends with somebody who is not perfect and makes mistakes. Will you let it go and keep being best friends? Will you overlook it and keep being best friends? It's your neighbor, and you're going to live with them for the next 35 years. Let it go. Forget it. Because you need them to let it go where you're concerned. Let it go where they're concerned. Well, I thought we were best friends. You were. You were best friends. Go to Genesis chapter 37. There's probably not any one person other than Jesus in Scripture that I like studying more than I like reading Genesis 37 through chapter 50 and studying Joseph's life. Unbelievable guy. Joseph, in chapter 37, when he was 17 years old, he had a dream, and he told his brothers this dream. Brothers got jealous. Verse 27 and 28, Joseph's brothers sold him to slave traders for 20 shekels of silver and told his dad that he was killed by a wild animal. That's his brothers. You're talking about wrong. You're talking about a cause for bitterness, a cause for a grudge, a cause for resentment, a cause for somebody to write a wrong down in ink. You think somebody wronged you? They didn't sell you into the slave traders and tell your dad a wild animal ate you. Now I'm talking about wrong. Yet we read in Joseph had a great attitude about life and never took that resentment on. And because of that, he was promoted to the head of Potiphar's house. Yet was he wronged? I hope to shout. Was that horrible what was done to him? Absolutely. There's no question it was wrong. It is what it is. I'm in Potiphar's house with a great attitude. I just rise to the top of Potiphar's house. I mean, that's what happened. Yes, he was wronged. You read on over. Potiphar's wife made a pass at him. He refused her. She told a lie. He's thrown in the dungeon. You talking about a neat... That sorry wench. I get out of here, get my hands on her throat. She got me thrown into this. Not any resentment at all. And in prison, he rises to the top. Everybody's crazy about him. Jailer puts him in charge of the whole prison. I mean, we get into chapter 39, and he helps out the baker. He helps out the cupbearer. He helps out the guys in prison. And then in verse 11 and 12, he says, hey, look here, guys. In chapter 40, he says, when y'all get out, remember me. Chapter 40, verse 23 says, oh, they forgot Joseph. Talk about a cause for resentment. What more could I do? I love chapter 41. I can't believe it. Pharaoh has a dream. Seven fat cows, seven skinny, seven heads of grain plump, seven heads of grain shriveled up. Nobody can interpret it. Finally, chapter 41, hey, there was a guy in prison. You know, I forgot all about him. He can interpret. Pharaoh said, go get him. Here is the chance you've been looking for. Joseph, Pharaoh wants you to come and interpret his dream. You tell Pharaoh to stick his dream. I mean, you're talking about the chance of a lifetime here. You tell Pharaoh to jump in the lake with his dream. Oh, well, yeah. Now you want me to interpret your dumb dream. You throw me down here in jail. You forgot about me. You've mistreated me. Now you need some help and you come running to me. Well, let me tell you what you can do, big boy. Take your dream and take a... You talking about a chance? You talking about a... What'd Joseph do? I'll go at once. No resentment in his heart. He lived for years in that dungeon waiting for the opportunity. And here he had it. I get my hands on him. I tell him. You need me. You come running. Well, where were you 5 years ago whenever you jerked me around? Pharaoh needs me. I'm on my way. You're talking about an opportunity, one after another after another. But it so illustrates our life, because you won't be wronged one time in your life. You will be wronged one time after another after another after another. Your brother's going to rob you. Your sister's going to wrong you. Your boss is going to wrong you. The teacher's going to wrong you. The coach didn't play you when they should have played you. And you practice harder than anybody and they wronged you on the way. Life is a series of being wronged, and Joseph showed us how in every situation you keep your heart right. I like Genesis chapter 50. Go all the way to the back of Genesis. Verse 14, chapter 50, Joseph's father dies. Joseph's father dies, and in verse 14 and 15, Joseph's brothers panic. Why? Our father's dead. Joseph was probably only being good to us until our dad died. Now that he's gone, he's going to settle the score. Dad's gone. Now he's going to settle the score. And so they begin to try to scheme something to save their own hides. Look at Joseph. What? I'm not in the place of God. Let God handle righting your wrongs. Let God handle judging people who have wronged you. Let God handle punishing people who have hurt you and wronged you. And let God judge them. Joseph said, whoa, I'm not in the place of God. I'm not in the place of God. There's not anything in my heart about what you have done to me. True enough, you meant it to destroy me. Well, let me tell you something. God takes what was meant for my destruction. You meant to hurt my feelings. You meant to get me fired. You meant wrong. God took it and made something good out of it. I never thought another thing about it. See, look at the Romans chapter 1. This is a good scripture for you. The wrath of God is loosed on unrighteousness. And when somebody wrongs you, you don't have to worry about it. When somebody breaks in your house and robs for you, you don't have to. If I catch them, look, you don't have to worry about it. God's wrath is loosed on unrighteousness. And whoever did you wrong is suffering from God. His wrath is on them. You don't have to be. Joseph said, whoa, I'm not in the place of God. Now I want to tell you something. Whoever you're holding a tally against, they deserve it. They did wrong. Here's what you got to see. Even if they did wrong, it is destroying you. Matthew 6:12, forgive us of our debts as we forgive others. As we forgive others who have wronged us. Lord, forgive me. In the same way that I have forgiven other people. Yes, 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 1,000 times. Yes, you have been horribly wronged. You're missing the whole point. Don't keep telling me how horribly wrong you have been done. That's not the point. The point is resentment's taking the life out of you. Forgive others as you need to be forgiven. And you make sure each day of your life that you live resentment free. Y'all stand. Lord, we continue to live right before you. Lord, we're not going to allow the enemy to steal the wonderful life that you have given us to live. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you have been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. If you are interested in more messages by the pastors at CM Church, please log on to our website at www.cmchurch.com and click on our podcast link. You can also purchase series and other messages at our online store.